This convention season can be quite exciting for technology junkies because there's always new things to see, updates to existing products, and one of those products that we'll be able to see completed is OpenBook version 6 that has just been released by Freedom Scientific, and no doubt it will be prominently on display at the conventions. To tell us about OpenBook version 6, we're joined by Dusty Voorhees from Freedom Scientific. Dusty, I guess OpenBook version 6 is the first version that really Freedom Scientific have been able to put their stamp of authority on, as it were. How has the cycle gone? Are you pleased with what's come out the other end?
Yeah, we're really pleased with the final product. There was definitely some bumps along the way and a time of, us learning how that code was put together and, what people have wanted over the years and, what they expect to still be in there. It wasn't, like you could just take and say, well, I don't like this feature, let's move this one around and change it. We needed to talk to a lot of the users and figure out, what things they valued and then figure out where we could go from there on as far as what they would value to have in there in the future.
I guess that because version 5 was really largely developed at a time when Arkenstone was standalone, there were some interesting departures there, such as the introduction of email, which was moving away from the core business of scanning. And in version 6, you've taken the email out. What was the rationale behind doing that?
Well, we had received a lot of feedback from users. A majority of them didn't want the email in there, but also, we had added in Connect Out Loud as a component that ships with OpenBook, which gives you access to Outlook Express, which is much more straightforward, what you'd get off the shelf type of email, and they could get tech support from virtually anywhere on that. So we thought that it was probably a good idea to just let them deal with the Outlook Express and the support that we had in Connect Out Loud with that, or they had with the screen reader already.
So how's that going down? Are you getting much negative reaction about taking the email out?
I haven't had any really email us yet or give us a call on that specific subject. I did actually design the code to where if people, said they wanted to have that back in there, we can easily put it back in, but I don't expect that to be a big request.
So there are quite a few new features. Can you highlight for us some of the ones that you think are particularly noteworthy in version 6?
Well, two of the last things that we put in were actually a response to, we did presentations at CSUN. We heard a lot back from our users there. And, one of the things that we put in at that point was what we're calling the Freedom Import Printer, which we had put in earlier. We talked about it and did not put it in because we thought, well, what people really want is access to PDF files, and with Connect Out Loud, we expanded its capability to Acrobat Reader, and we thought we were providing their needs. What we found out is that, that wasn't providing all their needs because there were image-based PDFs, and there were some locked PDFs that we weren't able to access. So we actually delayed our release and put in this other feature so that people could, virtually access any document that you have a program that has the ability to open the document and print it. Now, it'll open it up and send it to the Freedom Import Printer, and that automatically gets OCR'd and placed into OpenBook. Another feature that we had in there was Fine Reader 6. Again, when we announced things at CSUN, Fine Reader 6 wasn't available. In fact, they had released, I think that week of CSUN, a demo version of Fine Reader 6 to the public, but it was a downloadable demo only. And we actually released OpenBook within just a few days of them releasing Fine Reader to the public as a final product.
Right. What are the advantages to the consumer of Fine Reader 6 over previous versions of Fine Reader?
Well, we're noticing that we do get, better OCR in there, and that's what they claim. I believe their number is 30% better scanning accuracy. I may be wrong on that because it's been a while since I looked at that, but that's one of the key things is just the scanning accuracy, and that was the reason, we wanted to get it in there. We definitely realized that, scanning is definitely the crux of our program, and we need to have the best accuracy we can have. So that got put in there.
So FineRead is now the default engine, isn't it, for OpenBook?
Yeah, it is. I know that in the past they had not put FineReader as the default engine. We actually placed that before our beta testers and had them evaluate it. One of our big concerns was how long does it take to recognize text, how long does it take to bring stuff in there, and we found that there really wasn't a lot of difference in the time, and the accuracy was much better than the other engines on some documents, and it was kind of, you know, put up to the beta testers, and they said, you know, this is really the engine that we prefer with all the scanning that we've done as a beta test group.
Because in OpenBook, you've got three engines. How do you, or how does a user determine which is the best engine to use in any given situation?
That's been a tough question to answer, and I've been trying to answer that, you know, very well for the last year since I've been product manager on this. What we found most users will do is they'll have a default engine that they use most of the time, and if for some reason the accuracy isn't really good on a particular document, they'll experiment with the other engines. And what we have found is that if you get a certain publication and you find that, you know, one of the other engines works better on that publication, that the next time you get that publication, more than likely that's going to be your better engine on it.
What else have we got that's new?
Well, we looked at portability as a big feature of this one. We wanted you to be able to take what you do in OpenBook and take it with you, and we've added several features to back that up. One is that we've added the ability to convert, you know, any file into an MP3 or a WAV format, so it's audio. You can record that onto a CD and play it in, you know, any compatible player that's out there, so you can take that with you. We also added the ability to emboss directly from OpenBook. You can emboss in Grade 2 or computer braille. You can also transfer your files to the note takers. We have support in there for our note takers as well as the PDI note takers. And it's a fairly easy process. It's virtually, you know, saying I want to open this file and browsing through the list of files there and opening them up.
Can you use OpenBook with a braille display directly?
You cannot directly. It doesn't have a direct driver in there. That was another reason we included Connect Out Loud, was for a braille support for some of our people who didn't have screen readers. We do have, you know, configurations in there for JAWS so that, you know, even though you're not using JAWS for the speech and you come into OpenBook, you're automatically using it for the braille.
Right. The support for the Braille Light family, I presume, would, or the Braille and Speak family too, would be using direct support, whereas you'd be going through Active Sync, I suppose, for the PDI note takers.
Yes, that's true. We did add in, you know, a little bit of intelligence in there to where the first time you come in to use a note taker, you can tell it to auto detect your note taker, and or you can say, hey, this is the COM port I'm using, and this is the baud rate I'm using. And, you know, from then on, that is saved unless you tell it that you intentionally want it to prompt you for that every time.
And are there other features that are new that we haven't covered?
Yeah, we've got several of them, actually. One of the things that we've kind of gone out on a limb for and put a lot of resources into starting the development on and doing is what we're calling scanning templates. And scanning templates are designed for documents that you receive on a regular basis. They have text that's the same in or a format that's the same of them. So you can actually go through, let's say you get your phone bill this month, and you go through and scan the phone bill, and then you go in and say, I want to create a template. Within the template design, you can put in the text that will say, hey, this paragraph is the one I'm looking for because it has this piece of text in it. And you can do that for several paragraphs, and then you can tell it to reorganize those paragraphs relative to each other. And once you've reorganized them, then when next month's bill comes, then you can scan your document and say, apply this template, and it'll automatically reorganize it so that the important information is brought to the top of the document. You're not having to, you know, wade through a page and a half to find out how much you owe that month.
Right, so this is an extension of the layout information that could be saved in version 5. You're kind of building on that feature.
Yes, it built on that feature. We actually expanded that feature a bit more to where, you know, just as you can organize your different what we call text blocks, you know, with the scanning templates, you can actually do that in our documents as well, that to go into the layout on that. And you can hide different blocks of text. You can reorganize blocks of text in the order you want. And so if it's a reference type material that you're going to go back to over and over, you may want to, you know, hide the pieces that aren't important to you. You can always go back in there and reveal them again. Also, if you've hidden certain blocks of text in a reference type document that, you know, maybe you've got everybody's pay salaries in this document, you hide it and then you save it under another document name, the stuff that is hidden is stripped out so that you can hand that off to somebody else.
Right, and it can be saved in a wide range of formats, of course, as well.
Yes.
All right.
We also added in a lot of, I looked at the ease of reading, and we added in, I think, a lot of features that help the reading. One of the things that is my favorite is what we call skim read, or skim mode, to where you can actually, you know, you just hit a different keystroke than you do for a say all, and it reads the first or the first and last paragraph or sentence of every paragraph as it goes through the document. And, you know, it's very similar to what they teach you in school to skim read a, you know, a news article, that type of stuff. Doesn't work very well for, you know, storybooks, but it works pretty good for news articles.
You know, skim reading for a blind person has always been a bit of a challenge, especially for a blind person using speech. So that's a very innovative feature. And what kind of feedback have you had from the beta testers about that one?
We've had really good feedback. A lot of them really like it. You know, of course, it depends on what you're reading, but if you're reading, you know, magazine articles, you know, you're going to have to test it out. A lot of them it works very well for, depending on how the author wrote the article. But they've been excited about that. They've also been excited about the ability to strip headers and footers. Now, we at this point in time, stripping headers and footers, you have to keep the original image, but then we can go through and strip all those headers and footers so you're not hearing them at the top or the bottom of every page.
Any additional features that we've left out?
Well, we've got a fast forward and a rewind. You saw that originally in JAWS as far as, you know, Freedom Scientific products, but you can fast forward and rewind to where you move forward by sentences or paragraphs, and that is attached to the arrow keys initially, but you can actually go into the configurations and have it on the left and the right shift keys, so you can move up and down through your document during a say all, and it also works during the skim read. It'll jump to the next paragraph and continue reading.
Now, you raise an interesting point about people being familiar with things in JAWS. I just wondered whether thought has been given to consistency of interface within the PC-based Freedom Scientific products. For example, if you're a diehard JAWS user, you're automatically going to reach for the JAWS key and the number pad down arrow key to start a say all. Is there any view to getting consistency between interfaces in these products?
Yeah, we definitely looked at that a lot, and you know, we have plans for more things that we'd like to do to bring that consistency closer together. But one of the things that we did this time around is we added in a JAWS keyboard layout, an OpenBook keyboard layout, and also a WindowEyes keyboard layout to where if somebody's used to one of those two screen readers, then the numpad now belongs to them. And we have, you know, mimicked the keystrokes that they have on the numpad. Of course, you don't have a route a JAWS to PC or anything like that because that's not a function you have in OpenBook. But your say all and your say word and you know, say to cursor, those types of keystrokes are the exact same keystrokes as you have in JAWS now. In the past, you had the ability to actually go in and edit a file, and then you got a keystroke that was similar. Instead of saying, you know, insert down arrow for say all, you'd say alt down arrow for a say all. But now we've actually said, hey, we're going to give the insert key back to these JAWS commands if you switch that to that keyboard layout.
Now, the Open Book product doesn't seem to come out with versions as frequently as JAWS does. I guess that because there's been a bit of a learning curve for you guys in terms of understanding the code and working with it. Do you envisage that there'll be more frequent Open Book versions from now on?
We are looking at having, you know, probably a version a year with some updates in the middle there according to what technology is changing. Change in there, and that's definitely a change for us now that we've, you know, come up to speed a little bit. We definitely want to, you know, when new technologies that we're using become available, be able to release those out to our customers as soon as possible instead of waiting for a big release. As far as the timing, I think we're actually fairly close to what Arkenstone had done in the past, where they were a year, year and a half between releases. Now, we were a little bit longer this time around, but we'll be, you know, bringing that closer together.
Yeah, I mean, it just strikes me that because of the gap, a number of the versions of the features that you've talked about have actually been in, I guess, your major competitor's product for a wee while, and that if the market's going to continue to be this aggressive, then Freedom Scientific may need to respond in a little bit more of a timely fashion with this product.
We definitely, you know, are trying to come out with a competitive product. We're trying to continue the tradition that has been between the Open Book and the Kurzweil of trying to one-up each other as we come out with different releases and come out with a better response time on them in the future.
One of the big frontiers, I think, the final frontier, if you like, of the current generation of scanners, I would think, is the filling in of forms so that you can scan a form that you need to complete and then reliably, you know, fill in a form and print it out as if you were filling in a web form, for example. I don't know whether you guys consider that even technically possible given the current accuracy of scanning. Is it something you've looked at?
It's definitely something that we have looked at and we're continuing to look at. There are some, you know, engines out there on the open market that are for form fill-ins. Unfortunately, they're not really designed around, you know, being able to keyboard to the different things, being able to, you know, mouse to the different things the way we would in Open Book. So we're having to really do some work to try to make it to where it would be a user-friendly type of thing and, you know, to where our users can use it, you know, without having to jump through hoops to make it happen.
Yeah, it's a real challenging one, and yet I think whoever comes out and cracks that particular one is going to sell lots of product because there are so many occasions when a blind person just has to complete a form and would love to be able to type in the blanks and print out the completed form. It would just be an incredible breakthrough.
One of the other areas that we looked at was a group of users that oftentimes gets forgotten in this industry, and that is our low vision users. And so we actually have put in a couple of features this time around to enhance the user interface for low vision users. We've added in a masking feature that will dim the text above and below the line or the sentence that has focus, depending on how you've set it, so it makes it much easier for a low vision person to locate things. We've bumped up magnification of the exact view, so that if you're looking at the actual image, you can now go up to 800%. Our 8x magnification, and we've added a text window at the bottom of that that you can turn on so that whatever word has focus, you can see it in the font that you have picked and with foreground and background colors as well.
What's the upgrade policy for Open Book users who currently have version 5?
The version 5 users can upgrade through the end of August for $100. After that, it's going to be $150. And, you know, effective immediately, anybody from a version before 5 can upgrade for $150 to this version.
Right. Is that downloadable, or will people get a CD with that on?
They'll get a CD with it. It's not downloadable. We do have our demo version that we'll be putting up very soon that will be downloadable, but not the full product.
And on the CD, then you get your Open Book and Kinect Out Loud version 2 on top of that.
Yes, you do. During the install of Open Book, you are asked if you want to install Kinect Out Loud. And if you make the choice to install it, it'll be installed. at the same time, but if you make the choice not to install it, then it's not going to get in your way there.
How much is it brand new if you want to make a purchase of OpenBook today?
The retail price is $995 for brand new.
All right, and people can find out more information, I guess, on the Freedom Scientific website.
Yes, they definitely can, or by calling one of our dealers either way.
Brilliant. Well, we're about to run into a demonstration of this, but we certainly appreciate you running through some of the new features and look forward to developments with OpenBook.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jonathan.
So now let's take a look at OpenBook version 6. I have to say that because I have recently acquired a new computer here in the studio, I've been doing a lot of installing of technology software lately, of all kinds, getting the new computer up and running. And there's one little pet peeve I have, especially after all this installing, and that is that we do have access technology applications that have gotten into the habit of assigning hotkeys to their applications without giving you any knowledge of this and asking your permission to do so. I can certainly accept that when you do a default install, then the hotkey should automatically be assigned, but I do think that when you do a custom install, it would be nice if the application would tell you, we're going to assign Control-Alt-O or whatever the hotkey is that okay? Because in my case, Control-Alt-O was already used for Outlook, and of course it caught me by surprise when I installed OpenBook and hit Control-Alt-O for my email and OpenBook came up. This is by no means unique to OpenBook. WindowEyes does it, Kurzweil 1000 also does it, and HAL does it as well, so it's pretty common out there, but I do think that in a custom install, we should be asked if this is alright, or if you want to change the hotkey, or have no hotkey assigned at all. So I've managed to undefine this now, and I'm going to go into the start menu, and we'll go to OpenBook.
Oh. OpenBook 6.0 submenu.
We'll down arrow, push enter and down arrow.
OpenBook 6.0.
And that's what we want. The Eloquence, or the IBM TTS engine, whatever it is they're using, is very interesting.
Welcome to OpenBook version 6.0.
Sounds quite different. So we're in version 6.0 of OpenBook now, and this is going to be just a brief look at a few of the new features that Dusty mentioned due to time constraints. But we have done a pretty comprehensive demo of version 5 of OpenBook, and a lot of that still very much applies if you'd like to go back and have a look at it. We'll start by taking a look at the Freedom Input Printer, because once we get a PDF document in here, then we can look at some of the other features. I'm going to press Control-O to open a file.
Select a file to open. N equals file name, edit box star.ark.
This is a nice conventional Windows dialog box for opening files, and I'm going to press Tab.
T equals files of type, combo box.
To select Adobe PDF files. I'll push A.
Adobe Portable Document Format, star.pdf.
That's right. And I do have shortcuts turned on at the moment because I'm not as familiar with OpenBook as I am with some applications, and turning these on is a good way to be able to learn how to zip around it.
Any notebooks.
Now, I'm in the library at the moment, so I'm going to move up.
Apple Disk.
What have we done there? It's got upset with
me. Please note. D.
Oh, yes, I see. That's a bit tricky, isn't it?
I equals local disk.
That's it, local disk D. And then we're going to temp. And now we should find
noisereduction.pdf.
Oh, there's the noise reduction manual. That's not the one I intended to open, but actually I will, because I have a feeling that the noise reduction manual is not accessible with Adobe Acrobat Reader. In the accessibility mode, so this is probably a good one to use. We'll push enter.
Please wait. Document C. /temp/noisereduction.pdf open.
And it tells me to please wait. And this is being given treatment by the Freedom Input Printer. This is a little device that will use OCR, optical character recognition technology, to convert the image to text, which gets around the problems inherent in scanning PDF files that were not text in the first place, or of course that have some sort of access that prevents you from accessing it with the Adobe Acrobat
Open
Reader.
OpenBook Northradman DL.pdf.
Page 1 of 72.
DL.pdf.
Page 2 of 72. Page 3 of 72.
Right, so now it's
page 4 of 72.
Recognizing it.
Page 5 of 72.
And doing a reasonably fast job, but what I'll do is take a pause and we'll come back when this is just about done. So the recognition process has completed, and I can read the document now.
To register online with Sonic Foundry, please follow the steps outlined in the registry.
And off it goes. So now let's just quickly move through.
Page 2.
Page 8. We'll go about here. There should be some text here.
6 greater than. Installation. The install utility, setup.exe, located on the setup CD-ROM, creates any necessary directories and copies all files required by the noise reduction plugin.
So, it's reading that pretty well. So we have the text extracted from this previously inaccessible PDF file, at least with the Adobe Acrobat Reader it was. Now let's take a look at what else we can do in terms of new features in OpenBook. Firstly, let's take a look at the skim read feature, which may or may not be of use in the context of reading a manual like this. We'll go into the settings menu first with Alt-G.
G equals settings. S equals save the set.
And check how it's set up. So we'll go down.
D equals delete. O equals speech on. G equals general. P equals speech settings.
It's in speech settings, so we'll press enter.
Speech settings. S equals voice selection, combo box reading.
And we just keep going.
G, N equals reading voice, R, E, V equals reading voice, E equals reading, Y equals reading voice, K equals key echo during editing, combo box off.
We've seen these in previous reviews of OpenBook.
M equals skim read speaks paragraph, combo box first and last sentence.
I've set it to first and last sentence. I think by default it's set to first sentence. So the options you have are first and last, which is the bottom setting.
Last sentence. First sentence.
Last sentence or first sentence. So we'll push the end key.
First and last sentence.
And press enter.
Out of dial.
Now I'm going to push Shift F12.
7i Windows M. In the run window that appears, type the CD-ROM drive's letter and add :\setup.exe. Click the OK button to start the installation. 2. The installation process begins. The installation process begins. 3. Follow the screen prompts and enter the necessary information when required. Use the bar semicolon next greater.
Okay, so that's not going to work terribly well in this situation, but as Dusty said in the interview, it does work very well if you are reading a newspaper article in particular and it's formatted appropriately so that you can get the first sentence of each paragraph or the first or last sentence and you can stop skim reading at any time. So that skim feature is rather nice. Now, we have a document here that could be quite useful, and I actually have a folder on my Braille Note where I keep manuals of this kind in case I need to refer to them, and I do like having them in Braille. I tend to absorb a lot more when I'm reading documentation from Braille. So let's see if we can transfer this to the note taker, the Braille Note. I think the first thing I will need to do is to turn Active Sync on, so we will do that. I've got the speech off on the Braille Note. I really use it. And there's the Active Sync noise to tell me that we're all up and running with Active Sync. I wonder whether the new partnership dialogue is going to steal the focus. Well, it hasn't so far, so that's fine. We will now go into the File menu.
F equals File. N equals New. O equals Open. C equals Close. S equals Save. A equals Save As. G equals Save Pages. T equals Note Taker.
And there's the Note Taker option.
F equals Open From. T equals Save To.
So we can actually open a file from the note taker as well as save to it.
F equals open from. T equals save to.
Let's save to it.
Select a file in the note taker to save to. I equals look in, combo box note taker, Braille Note. N equals file name, edit box noise Redmond.
Okay, so it's given me a file name. Let's just see how much control we have here.
T equals files of type, combo box text files, star.txt.
Can we do anything else?
S equals save, C equals cancel, F equals new folder, but I equals look in, combo box note taker, Braille Note, not selected books list control, not selected books.
So we've got our folders here.
Dictionaries, flash disk, Keysoft, manual.
So we want to put it on the flash disk.
Flash disk.
And I have a directory in the flash disk. There we go. Here's my flash disk come up.
Manuals.
For manuals. Look at that. So we'll push enter. And we're in the manuals folder of the flash disk on the Braille Note now that we're browsing using OpenBook.
N equals file name, edit box noise Redmond.
And that will actually do as a file name. I just want to see if I can save it as a Braille file. No, I can't. It doesn't look like. Or maybe what's going on here?
N equals files of type, combo box word 6-8 for win.
Okay, we have got some options.
RTF document, text files. RTF word 6.
Okay, so we can save in text, rich text format, and Word, but we can't translate into Grade 2 Braille, it looks like. So we will go up to text.
N equals file name, edit box noise.
And accept that. So I've
pressed. Please wait, please note. You have selected to save using text files, star.txt, format. This may result in the loss of some attributes. Continue with save. O equals OK button.
That's saving fine. File. So we'll push OK. And the transfer to the Braille node is now going on. So it is nice that you can just look at the document that's open and transfer it. See, I haven't even saved this yet to the open book with a file name. And it's going ahead and saving it to the Braille node for me. I'm not sure how long this is going to take because it was 75 pages and that might be a reasonably lengthy manual. We've
document
got a
document my computer / note taker / flash disk / manuals / noiseredmond.txt saved.
Alright, and I'm just going to check that it's there now. I'll turn the speech on for the sake of this. And up the volume. And things, and we'll just slow that down. Okay, and we'll go in and have a look here. And the folder we go to is manuals, and we should be... That's it, we'll just open it and check that it's there. And here we go, I'm reading to register with online with Sonic Foundry. Please follow the steps outlined in the registration wizards upon install. So it's all here, and... Yes, it looks like it's got it all because Index is at the bottom. So that was a very easy process, transferring, opening a PDF file that I couldn't get to before with Adobe Acrobat Reader, getting reasonable text. There are a few blemishes in it because manuals tend to use a lot of symbols that don't translate too well even when you scan them on a good day. But it's readable and it will tell you exactly how the program works. And I sent it straight to my Braille note into the manuals folder. While we're playing with the Braille note, let's just see if we can open a file as well. So we will go back to the file menu and go down to note taker.
Control N. G equals T equals note taker.
That's it.
F equals open from.
And we'll open from the note taker.
Select a file to open. I equals look in. Combo box note taker. Braille note.
Yes, that's fine. What have we got here? It's
T equals files of type. Com N equal not selected books dictionary.
Okay, we're back at the same place, so we'll go into the flash disk. I'll go into my ACB radio folder on the Braille note.
At radio.
That's it. And we'll see what we've got. I think I've got a news briefs from a couple of weeks ago before things got too hectic prior to convention for me to do news briefs.
Tech.rtf.
That will do. That's a rich text format file. I'll push enter.
Please wait. Opening file. Opening file.
And it's obviously, I suppose it's transferring the file and then opening
document
it.
My computer / note taker / flash disk / at radio / tech.rtf open.
And I should be able to read it now.
A new report from Gartner Research indicates that an average large company in the U.S. could save at least $13.1 million per year by sending invoices to consumers via e-billing.
What I'd like to do now is go into edit mode. You don't have the ability to edit a document by default instantly in OpenBook, but you can turn editing on by default as a configuration option. So we'll go into the edit menu.
E equals edit. U equals undo. E equals edit. U T equals cut. C equals copy. E equals paste. D equals delete. S equals select all on. F equals find. R equals find. G equals go to page. A equals renumber page. O equals bookmark. I equals insert page. L equals delete page. M equals move page. N equals delete current. H equals strip header. E equals edit mode.
And there we go. It's Control-E is a shortcut, so I know that now.
In edit mode.
Push enter. Now, what I'm going to try and do is see if I can edit this document and save it back to the Braille note.
Report. New.
So we've got a new report.
Space R.
And what I'm going to try and do here is put a new and very exciting report. So it says...
This is the first page.
Yes, yes.
A new and very exciting report from Gartner Research.
Yes. All right, now I'm going to see if we can save this file with a Control-S.
Please note, this document may contain attributes that cannot be saved in the current format. Do you want to save changes to my computer / note taker / flash disk / at radio / tech.rtf? O equals OK.
Yes, I do, so we'll choose OK.
Out of dialog.
And it has now saved that, I presume, so I'm going to go and have a look. We'll just
document my computer / note taker / flash disk / at radio / tech.rtf saved.
Now we'll go back into the book manager. So ACB radio. And it's the tech. Okay, and a new and very exciting report has come up in there. So we are able to load a file from the Braille Note and then edit it and then save back to the Braille Note, which is quite cool. And you can also save from something that you've scanned directly to the Braille Note. However, you can't translate it, it appears, into grade 2. Now, I have still...
This is the first page. Business to business.
This small news briefs section here that we retrieved from the Braille Note. And I'm going to make an MP3 file of that. So we'll go to the file menu and we'll look for the right option. I think I'll go up.
X equals F3 equals 2 equals 1 R equals document. E equals emboss. P equals print. L equals library. D equals save to audio.
That's it. We want to save to audio. So I will press enter.
Please select a page range from the current document. Save current page. Radio button. Checked.
So we have save current page, but there are other options.
Save page range, radio button, check, save current.
So save current page or save page range. I want to save the whole document because it's not that long.
Save page range, edit box 1-8. Save range as a single file.
1-8, so that must be page 1 to page 8, and that's what
edit.
I want to do.
Save range as a single file, check box, unchecked.
Yes, I want to save it as a single file, please.
Save range as a single file, check box. Checked.
And let's just hear what the help we have for that is.
Check this box. If you wish to save the specified range of pages to a single audio file, use the spacebar to check and uncheck this item.
So again, they've done a nice job with the context-sensitive help, something that particularly impressed me in version 5 when we last looked at this.
O equals OK button.
And, oh, I don't think we've got any choices about bitrate here.
C equals can't save page range.
No,
radio.
We don't seem to have any...
Edit, save page range, radio button, checked.
Yeah, if you're an audiophile, it looks like you're out of luck. You're not given any choice about the bitrate, so when we've created a file, we'll have to bring it up in Winamp and find out exactly what it's doing.
CO equals OK.
We'll push OK.
Save to audio. N equals file name. Edit box tech.
I'm going to do C colon backslash temp backslash
temp.
Looks like it's going to put its own extension. What have we got there?
T equals files of type. Combo box MP3 audio files. Star.mp3 right parenthesis.
Now, have we got any other option?
Windows WAV files, star.wav.
Now that is excellent, the fact that they've also given you the chance to make a WAV file in here as well as an MP3 file. You may want to make a WAV file if, for example, you want to burn straight to CD, because it does take a while, even if you have a CD creator program that will do the decompressing for you. That all takes time. And it also takes time to compress a file into MP3. So if you're going to have it end up decompressed anyway, you may as well create the WAV file. So we will we'll go with the MP3, I think. So you've got MP3 in WAV. We'll accept that and push enter.
Converting page to audio file. C. Backslash docume tilde 1 backslash jonath tilde 1 backslash locals tilde 1 backslash temp backslash temp.wav. 0% complete. 6% complete.
All right. 12%. That's giving us some progress. I'll just
25%.
Silence that. So it's 31%. Going reasonably rapidly. It's an 8-page document. I do have to say that we're doing this on a Pentium 4 2.26 gig machine. So 49. I suppose a couple of weeks ago what I was using for main menu was below spec 60. These days, and I guess now it's sort of towards the top end.
69.
We're now at 75, I would say.
76%.
Yeah, 76% complete. So this is just about done making an 82. MP3 file. I'm not clear as to what they're using for their MP3 codec, whether they're relying on something within Windows or whether they've licensed 90. An MP3 codec that's inside somewhere, but it's just about to be done.
Converting page to audio file. C. Backslash temp backslash tech 1-8.mp3.
Now,
zero.
I might actually stop this process and... then we can have a look at exactly what it is creating in the WAV MP3 files and just contrast the creation of an MP3 file with the creation of a WAV file. Now, you can hear the speech is having a lot of difficulty there. It's stuttering away, and I'm not recording on the computer, by the way. I'm recording on another machine that runs SoundForge for these demonstrations. So we'll bring up Winamp now,
open
and
book. Winamp 2.80.
Just see what
open.
We have.
Folder my reason up when Lloyd can come. Local disk, amp up my read folder. Automation check 1.8.mp3.
And here we go, check 1-8.mp3. Let's listen.
A new and very exciting report from Gartner Research indicates that an average large company in the U.S. could save at least USD 13.1 million per year by sending invoices to consumers via e-billing. According to Gartner.
I'm just going to bring up my ID3 tag viewer and information thing, and we'll have a look at what we've got here.
Header, length 1060, MPEG 2.0 layer 3. 32 bit 40,000
So it's a 32 kbps 2250k mono file.
For business to business, B2B, companies could achieve a return on investment.
And that's all you seem to be able to have. So if you are at a premium for space, I would have thought 32 is a bit of an overkill for listening to this sort of stuff. If you 24 would be all right, and even 16 would be acceptable. So that has done it all, though. And how long is that file? Let's just have a look at that.
17 minutes, 45 seconds.
17 minutes? That seems an exceptionally... Anyway, what I'd like to do now is try and do that as a WAV file.
F equals 5.
So we'll do D again.
Control N. Please select a page range from the current document. Save current page. Radio button. Check.
We want to save the whole thing.
Save page range, radio, edit box 1-8, save range as a single file, check box, unchecked.
Yes.
Save range, O equals OK, save to audio, N equals...
And we'll do C colon backslash temp,
backslash
tick again, but this time we'll choose...
Windows WAV files, *.wav. Converting page to audio file, C, back...
So off it goes.
Complete.
We'll see how much faster this is.
11% complete.
And we'll take a look at the specifications for the file when it's created as well. So,
31%.
This is a feature that has been seen in other products, and obviously OpenBook has had a request for it as well. So we're just creating the audio 51. File now. It's already up to 51%, at least on this go.
58%.
It's not you know, a huge amount faster, really, 55. Is it? But it's doing it now. And what I might do is just pause this, and we'll come back
79%
with another look at the file in WinAmp, this time in WAV format.
89% out of dialogue.
I see what was happening now. What was happening was that the first time it was creating the WAV file, and the second time it was creating the MP3 file. It was doing the compressing. So that really illustrates my point that you will save time if you go straight to WAV files, and if you're going to burn it onto a CD anyway, you wouldn't want to compress to MP3 only to have the CD program uncompress it again. So well done to them for allowing the WAV file option. Let's go and have a look at this in WinAmp.
OpenBook.
What do we got here?
OpenBook tech up JAWS. WinAmp 2.
There we go. WinAmp is there,
Open.
And we will
folder tech 1.8.mp3. Tech18.org.
Here's the WAV file.
A new and very exciting report from Gartner Research indicates that an average large company in the U.S. could...
PCM, 22,050 Hz, one channel S, 16 bits per sample.
So that's what I would expect, really. It's a 22K file, a WAV file.
Save at least USD 13.1 million per year by sending invoices to consumers via e-billing.
And there we have it. We have a WAV file and an MP3 file that we were able to make with OpenBook version 6. The final feature that we'll show you in this very brief look at what's new in OpenBook version 6 is the alternative keyboard layouts that Dusty mentioned. I think this is quite a useful feature if you have become really used to a particular screen reader and you don't want to have to learn a whole lot of new commands. Well, we'll have a go at that by going to the settings menu again with Alt G.
G equals settings. S equals save the settings. R D E O E T P C V E M E N E K equals keyboard settings.
There's the keyboard settings.
Keyboard settings. K equals keyboard layout, combo box OpenBook.
So we will now just push F1 and find out what it tells us about this. Well, maybe it doesn't
JAWS open.
Tell us anything. We'll push F1. No, it doesn't. Well, I guess it's sort of reasonably self-explanatory. So we've got OpenBook,
JAWS, Window Eyes,
and Window Eyes. So I'm going to choose the Window Eyes keyboard layout and press Enter.
Out of dialogue.
Now, presumably...
Page 2. Page 1.
Well, something.
Percent of U.S. households through deals with high-speed internet or personal blank have transferred money from that Auditor General's report of having a conflict of interest in relation to the GP House deal in which he was alleged to
have transferred.
All right, I'm using the mouse movement keys in WindowEyes to read a line at a time, and that is working. If I push Control with the numpad 5, it's not reading the current line. So it's not completely like WindowEyes. No Control numpad 5 for reading the current line, which is one of the most regular commands you would use. We'll have to have a look at the manual to find out exactly what the similarities are between the keyboard layouts, but certainly there are some similarities when you change your keyboard layout to the screen reader of your choice, and no doubt they'll continue to work on that. So that's OpenBook version 6. It is actually very responsive. It sort of goes through phases of being incredibly responsive and then not so responsive. If I arrow through the menus, for example,
F equals file.
If they could do that for Jaws, my goodness me, the world would be a happier place. It is really quite snappy. It goes through phases, as I say, of not being quite as snappy as that. But yes, yeah, very nice. So there are some features here that if you're a Kurzweil 1000 user, you will have been using for some time, and yet there are some things that they've enhanced on, such as the note taker support. I think it's great that you can open files and save the wave support for audio. And from what I can gather, the Freedom Input Printer is quite similar to what Kurzweil has been offering for some time. But for those people who have OpenBook, it'll be a welcome upgrade, and it looks to me like quite a worthwhile upgrade to get. So you can find out more information from freedomscientific.com.